You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Now, in these podcasts, we explore a huge range of crucial issues and exciting developments in the food industry with brilliant guests drawn from all areas of expertise. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer, and I specialize in food and science. Now, today's podcast is all about Veganuary 2021. And after some pretty spectacular success this year, what's in store for next year? What effect has COVID-19 had on the whole project? And what's new for the future? Today, we're joined by Ria Rayberg. Yeah, I've done it already. Today, we're joined by Ria Rayberg, CEO of Veganuary. Welcome, Ria.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Now, first of all, rather than talking about Veganuary, let's talk about you, because you joined Veganuary at a time when they were about to launch their international campaign. What's your background? How does your international experience in animal equality kind of inform Veganuary's own international strategy?
Sure. So before joining Veganuary, I was the co-executive director of Animal Equality Germany, which is the German branch of an international animal protection nonprofit. And I was also part of the leadership team of that organization. And you know, in the 6 years that I worked there, the organization grew from really a small grassroots movement with barely any funds at all into an international organization with chapters in several different countries. And that was a very interesting journey to witness and to learn from. And also my personal academic background is in intercultural communication. So I was very excited to have been chosen by the founders of Veganuary to come on board early in 2019 and lead on Veganuary's international expansion. And when I joined as part of sort of the strategy, we decided to take on board two additional flagship countries next to the UK, which was Germany and the US at the time for several different reasons. And then we also decided to extend our presence to several Latin American countries. So we started with Chile in 2019. And then this year we've added Argentina and Brazil as well. And we also started a campaign in South Africa, which is now being run by a partner organization. And we're also working with very committed partners in several other countries now. So we're running active partner campaigns in Switzerland, in Italy, Singapore, Sweden, France for the first time this year, India and Australia. And I hope I have them all. And sort of going back to your question, so one of my big learnings at Animal Equality was that when starting campaigns in other countries, really one size doesn't fit all, right? So what works in the UK doesn't necessarily work in India, it doesn't necessarily work in Germany. So it was really important for us to have local teams on the ground working on the campaign there and adapting the contents and really making sure that everything we do doesn't just fit sort of the language, but also the culture of the country or region we work in. So that's something that we've been implementing at Veganuary as well.
I can't believe that Argentina's an easy sell for you. I mean, that's so beef focused. Now, I thought that this might be an obvious question, but maybe it's not. Are you a vegan?
I am, yes. I've been a vegan for 10 years now, I think.
Very good. Because I was wondering, where I kind of thought, well, you must be a vegan. But then I thought, well, maybe somebody who isn't a vegan would be a good choice for Veganuary as well. Now, 2020, you had incredible success. Can you tell us about it? How did Veganuary change its approach to have such a huge penetration internationally and galvanize so many people from outside the UK?
Yeah, so when I joined, we really analyzed sort of the strengths and weaknesses that we saw at Veganuary. We had a pretty deep dive into which of our activities would have really the biggest possible impact for animals and for the well-being of our planet. And we saw that, you know, working with some of the biggest companies in the world was the tool that Veganuary, with its very popular non-judgmental approach, would probably almost uniquely be able be fit to use, right? And so we made a strategic plan and we realized that the bigger we were able to make this movement, so really by inspiring hundreds of thousands of people to join and give a vegan diet a go, or what we do a lot as well is working with celebrities from all over the world, such as Joaquin Phoenix, who joined us last year, or Alicia Silverstone, or Paul McCartney, who really sort of help us spread the word about eating more plants and by also creating fun marketing activations and billboards. So we had our first TV spot last year. We really realized that sort of the bigger the buzz and the media engagement, then the bigger the interest from companies to join the hype would be and, you know, market new and exciting vegan products. And that then, of course, would sort of multiply the positive impact on the world that a charity such as Veganio, who's really quite small in comparison to many other charities, could ever have alone. So we had in 2019, for example, we had companies such as Pizza Hut add vegan menus with a link to our sign-up page in all of their restaurants, or other companies literally spend millions of advertising budget on campaigns and stressing the benefits of a vegan diet and showing how delicious and affordable vegan eating can be. So we really see that this is where we see the biggest strength of this movement and where we can have the biggest impact on the world. And this year, actually, and this really blew my mind, because several companies have told us this year that Veganuary in the UK is now a bigger feature in the retail calendar than Christmas. And that's certainly something that we, you know, want to see in other countries as well. And we hopefully will be able to internationalize our campaign a bit more.
And when you say that you're working with companies and that you're looking at the corporate sector, in practical terms, what does that mean?
Yeah, so it really depends a little bit from company to company. Just because there's so many, we had over 1,000 companies join last year, we're not really able to have very regular meetings with all of them. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we created what we call our business toolkit, which is really just an explanation of how can companies get involved in Veganio, what are the benefits for them, what are the assets they can use, also explaining to them that it's for free to join, so we don't charge companies for participating in Veganio, which many are surprised of to hear. And then we, you know, send that out. And once companies are interested in doing bigger activations or launching new vegan products and they want us to be more involved with, for example, coordinating marketing activations or thinking about sending out joint press releases or something like that, then we'll be more in touch and have sort of more communication throughout the year and planning the activations for the next January. Because that's a question we get a lot as well. It's like, what's the team doing the rest of the year? Just about January.
After January, you just sleep for 11 months, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So is there a quantifiable benefit for companies to be associated with Veganuary?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, we're not naive, right? We know that this many companies aren't just joining because they think we're a great charity and they want to support us, but they're joining because they have understood that, you know, plant-based eating is the future, and more people are interested in seeing more innovation in the plant-based sphere and you know, switching their diets, be it one day a week or more days a week or 4 months or completely. So companies are joining because they know that more and more people are interested in this kind of food and because they're seeing it in their sales as well. So we have so many companies showing us the figures after January, and usually their plant-based offering has increased. I don't know, KFC, for example, launched a vegan burger last year in the UK, and they sold 1 million of them just in January. So I think, yeah, we do see that it's a win-win when, you know, we're happy when companies are launching new vegan products and when they're marketing plant-based eating, but we see that really who's winning are the animals and the planet and people that are eating more healthier vegan options.
Yeah. Is that a difficult combination of factors, the sort of the moral issue and the business issue, or do you think they're just inextricably linked in terms of your targets? I'm interested in the sort of the difference between a moral imperative, i.e. Animal welfare and not mm-hmm. having to kill animals in order to eat, but then businesses actually joining for a financial imperative rather than a moral one. And I wondered, is it annoying for you that these two things kind of have to be juggled, or is that just the way that it's going to work?
Yeah, I think that's just the way a little bit the world works, right? I wish everyone was, you know, going vegan for the animals, but that's just not the way it's going to be. People are people, and we care about, you know, what's the cheap option. And more people start caring about their health as well, and more people start caring about the environment. But not everyone is going to be an activist. So I think we're quite realistic and pragmatic in that sense and saying, we don't really care why people want to choose plant-based or why companies want to join in and bring more plant-based meals or menus to the market, we care if less animals are being hurt and if we all have a planet that is more habitable for all of us and for next generations to come
as well. Your bottom line isn't a cash one. It's a moral one of fewer animals dying, I guess. Now, what countries did you see the greatest success in this year?
In terms of working with businesses, I would say, obviously, after the UK, we saw the biggest engagement in Germany, which was quite interesting. And we did choose Germany originally as one of our flagship countries because we felt it was one of the next countries that had kind of this tipping point, a moment where, there was so much talk about veganism and it was becoming a little bit more mainstream and a little bit more just out there, but kind of this movement was missing that would help bring it all together, the people, the celebrities, the organizations, the companies that could sort of all at one moment in time just make veganism the trending topic of the month. So we've really seen that worked really well in Germany last year. And then in terms of really people signing up and receiving our resources and trying plant-based, we see huge interest in Latin America, which is great. And then in the US, we've seen great interest too, I think, especially in terms of media coverage. So last year we had articles in the New York Times or Wall Street Journal or Washington Post. So we really see that there's sort of more interest also that like trickles over to the mainstream. Yeah. But one thing that's really, really interesting in the US is that there seems to be some resistance to the term vegan. And that, of course, is something that as veganer, we were not really able to get rid of. So we do see that there's more resistance from companies to join the campaign just because we have that word in our name.
Really? What? Tell me more. What is the negative association? Why is it bad? Is that another kind of right wing issue of don't cramp my freedoms?
I don't know. I think it just has a more sort of negative radical connotation, maybe more of an activist connotation. So in terms of companies wanting to join, they would always market their products as plant-based. And we obviously were not called plant-based January, but veganuary. Yeah. So for whatever reason, there's a fear there of actually using this term.
How extraordinary. Okay. Now, what are the main reasons that people take part in veganuary? And have these reasons shifted over time?
Yeah, they actually have. So we had the number one reason was always animals. So basically for many people that signed up with us, trying veganism was about ending their role in animal suffering. But then last year, for the first time, health actually overtook that reason. So I think 1% more. So 38% of the people that signed up with us gave health as the main reason. And over 50% of the people that we surveyed afterwards actually said that their health improved. So they saw something positive about their health after the months of eating vegan. So I think they signed up with an expectation. For most, it was met, luckily. And then the reason number three is the environment. And that's something we've seen sort of climbing up year on year now. And of course, we know that animal farming is one of the leading emitters of climate changing gases and obviously contributes to the climate crisis. And this is just something that through the media and activism, I think is just much more in people's minds now. And they're realizing that, you know, by eating plant-based just for months, that they can already do something sort of in their own small world, so to say, to make a difference there. And people are choosing it as a form of activism.
Yeah. And do you have any numbers on the potential impact that this has had on the amount of meat eaten and quantifiable health benefits, environmental change?
Yeah, so we actually just hit a very exciting veganuary milestone, which was our 1 millionth participant since we were founded signed up. And we sort of took that as an opportunity to ask Dr. Helen Harvard from Harvard University to sort of look into the impact for us that these 1 million past participants had by eating vegan for 31 days. And She found that over 103,000 tons of CO2 equivalent was saved. And that's sort of to put that more into something that we can imagine or like really kind of see more visually. That's equivalent to driving around the world almost 15,000 times with a UK car. So I think that's quite significant. And then she also found that over 6 million liters of water were saved. So that's the same as flushing the toilet almost 500,000 times. And there's a calculator from the Vegan Society, and they sort of calculated that these 1 million participants also spared the lives of 3.4 million animals on factory farms. So we think that's really exciting to just kind of show that if many people do something relatively small together, collectively, it can have quite the impact. And this is all these numbers are just for this 1 month. So we know that a lot of people actually stick to a vegan diet after having tried it for months, and that's not included in these numbers. Yeah. And then we also know that a lot more people do Veganuary than actually sign up on our website. So Kantar, I think in 2019, the research institute, they estimated that about 10 times as many people in the UK do Veganuary than actually sign up on our website.
I'm the same. I haven't signed up, but I do it pretty regularly. In 2020, you smashed your target of I think it was 350,000 Veganuary participants. What are the ambitions for 2021?
So for 2021, we do have some obvious challenges, of course, such as COVID, but we still have very ambitious targets. So we hope to inspire 500,000 people to sign up on our website just in this year. So that will be half of what we've achieved so far since 2014. Mm-hmm. So it is ambitious, but I think we can get there.
Wow, that is a big one. Okay. Now, we have to think about you know, current situation here. There's an impact of COVID-19 on you know, the food system, food supplies, and people's health. Do you think that this is going to help Veganuary for 2021, or if it's going to hinder it?
I think it has sort of parts in both, right? So we know that now more than ever, people are worried about the affordability of food items. So what we did is we commissioned some research around this topic, which we'll be releasing quite soon, and which is sort of aimed at breaking with the stereotype that a vegan diet is more costly than a non-vegan diet. And we also sort of developed budget meal plans, which have shown to be very popular already, and adapted a lot of our resources to include more recipes for cooking at home and things like that. So we did have to adapt a little bit in terms of the content that we put out there, the resources that we give people. But then on the other hand, I mean, it presents quite a lot of challenges for our campaign just in general. So the media is inundated with COVID-related news, and a lot of companies are struggling, and staff are furloughed, and some businesses had to really close altogether that we've been working with. And obviously in such times, you think that the last thing that people and companies want to worry about is trying like a new diet trend or running a fun marketing campaign around their vegan offerings or their vegan products. But we have seen that the opposite can also be true. So when we surveyed people from our database a few months after COVID started, we were actually seeing that one third of them are now eating more plant-based foods as a result of the pandemic. So there's certainly more interest in sort of choosing new food trends or eating healthier. But also I think people just have more time to cook now that they're home so much.
And there's been a fair amount of just sort of navel gazing, hasn't there? People sort of have been, you know, at home with their thoughts and thinking, okay, I need to do something. I need to, you know, and both for health, environment, and for moral reasons as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also see that a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of the link between the risk really of future global pandemics and how closely it's linked to animal farming. And a lot of them are saying, well, we really do want to do our part in making sure we don't run into the next global pandemic. And eating more plant-based is certainly something easy each of us can do to help reduce that risk going forward.
And during the pandemic, has it been more of a challenge to engage sort of globally and with corporates? Has it sort of thrown a cog in the works a little bit?
Yeah, in parts, yes, because of course we have ongoing lockdowns in so many of the regions we're active in. So we're really seeing that more like delivery and retail have really big began your activations planned, where sort of individual restaurants are being more careful and have a harder time planning. And again, many of the businesses we work with have unfortunately gone out of business. And what's quite interesting as well is that whenever we ask began your participants what their biggest challenge was in the years before, they always said eating out was the most complicated on a vegan diet. And now this year, that sadly, of course, is out of the picture for many people. But I think it does make it easier if you're being at home, if you're cooking anyway. There's so many recipes out there. So I really think that that's certainly been helpful for people. But yeah, in terms of companies, we do see a lot of companies getting in touch and wanting to work with us. And in Germany, for example, now when we launched the campaign on 1st of December, we had IKEA Germany join us in announcing that they're going to be participating in Veganuary and launching new vegan products. And that's been really huge in Germany, of course, because they're such a big name. So we do see that especially the bigger names in the corporate world are still very excited to join the challenge and sort of make it possible.
So last year, or rather, well, this year, January this year, there are about 600 or so new products launched. Do you know the plans for 2021? Can you tell us about any of the exciting new innovations we're likely to see?
Yeah, so our corporate engagement teams have been very, very busy in the UK, in the US and Germany, Latin America, where we are running the active campaigns. And of course, we're not really allowed to release specifics, but I'm able to say that we are very, very excited to have most of the UK retailers on board with some really amazing launches, both from own label, but also launches from household brands. And many of these launches actually include a vegan version of the best loved products of these brands.
That's
quite
exciting.
Always something that we encourage. Yeah, we love when that happens. And then there'll be, lots of plant-based innovation hitting the market. So we already know of exciting innovations in sweet treats, chocolate and ice cream as well, lots of meat alternatives, lots of plant-based fish products. Some really great launches for activity as well in health and fashion and beauty, which is something we find exciting because we love it when people take sort of the vegan diet and extend it to a more fully vegan lifestyle and choose vegan fashion and beauty products. And then we're seeing the movement tip over with quite the buzz to other countries such as Germany as well. So in Germany, we actually now have, I think, 100% more corporate engagement than we had last year already. So last year we had 50 companies on board, and this year we already have over 100. So it's really quite exciting to see that there'll be new delicious vegan products out there that we can all try.
And personally for you, what's the one thing that you're most excited about in terms of products?
I don't know. There's one that I'm really excited about, but I am not allowed to name that one specifically. We'll have to wait a little bit. But there's one product that I'd love to try once I'm able to go to the UK again, because I'm actually based in Germany. And right now, of course, everyone's in lockdown. Yeah. And that is, my colleagues have told me there is an actual vegan egg now somewhere in the UK that you can scramble, and like it's kind of liquidish. I really find that
very good. And just last question really for you, if you had to put your money on the one hottest trend, hottest vegan trend for 2021, and maybe you had £1 million to invest in a company or a product or a technology or even media that would be focused on veganism, what would you invest in?
So a lot of people in the sort of plant-based movement are starting to speak about clean meat a lot more. So they receive huge investments going into that sector. But I also think that just in terms of a plant-based, there's incredible innovations out there. I mean, I think in terms of trends where we, especially in Germany, what we're seeing so much is that the pizza sphere is really starting to be veganized a lot more. We have several different plants in that area, so to say. But we really see it all over in all of the different sectors. Again, not just food, but also beauty, fashion. We just see it sort of tipping really into the mainstream. And that's really what we're so excited about, because if we want to make a big impact on the planet collectively, I think we need to work with the big companies, and we need really everyone on board, right? It's not like, oh, these guys should be doing something and others shouldn't. It really should be all over the place, in my opinion.
Well, looking forward to a big year of it for you, and I can't wait to find out some of the new innovations. Thank you so much for joining us, Rhea. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and you heard from Rhea Rayberg, CEO of Veganuary, and me, Stefan Gates. Thank you, Rhea. Have a brilliant day.
Thank you so much. You too.
And if you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from salmon farm sustainability to apprenticeships. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Goodbye. You've been listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters. Subscribe to get every episode freshly delivered on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, please visit foodmatters.co.uk.